You're listening to a new episode of Our Delaware Valley. I'm your host, Marcus Goldman. With me today is Nick Learman, who is the founder and CEO of Team Foster. They are an organization that looks after our veterans. They provide service dogs for veterans with PTSD and other ailments that need service dogs. They do so many other things. They take care of retired working dogs. They train service dogs. They do so much more. It's been a while since he's been in here. Nick, thank you very much for coming in to talk today.
All right. Thanks for having me, Marcus. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back and talk about the great work that you and Team Foster are doing. You have the Foster 100, which I think is in its fifth or sixth year. And it's a century ride that you do every year. But you've got something else coming up May 31st, the Rough Ride Spin event, which we will talk about in detail shortly. Do you want to give a background on Team Foster, how it started, why you put it all together?
Always phenomenal to get an opportunity to come and talk to you. And of course, talk about our veterans, talk about service dogs. But in terms of background, it's an interesting story in terms of how we got here. Team Foster is founded in honor of my buddy, Captain Eric Foster. Eric was killed on his second tour in Iraq in 2007. And Eric was a big part of what I always tell people. He's a big part of making my life take a 90-degree turn to the left in a good way. He taught me a lot of things, but two things that have always stuck with me, and that especially since he was killed, have been things that I want to share with other folks, are about pushing yourself, both mentally and physically, and about giving back, about taking care of our community and taking care of our teammates. So after he was killed in 2007, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to pay tribute to Eric, how to honor Eric's memory. He was just a phenomenal leader. He was a phenomenal person. He was a complete soldier. He was an Army Ranger, airborne qualified, and he was serving as a troop commander in the 82nd Airborne Division when he was taken. So spent a lot of years trying to figure it out. And in 2014, we did our first, what is now known the Foster 100, which is that 100-mile cycling event that you mentioned a moment ago. And things sort of took off from there. We got incorporated. We got our 501c3. And we raised money, all of which goes to do three things. Primarily, it goes to provide service dogs for injured vets. The second thing we do is we provide funds to take care of retired military working dogs when needed. And then third, we also have a small grant program that we provide for local veterans and local service organizations.
Do you want to give out the website, the social media information, and if there's a phone number for people to reach out so they can get more information about what Team Foster does?
Absolutely. It's a great question. So the easiest way, there's a couple. We have a website. Our website is teamfoster.org. And we are, of course, on all the requisite social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can see us at We Are Team Foster is our handle there. And then we also have a phone number. It's 484-469-0383. So you can go to teamfoster.org, or you can find Team Foster on any of all the big social media.
You mentioned, and how I first found out about you is your work with training service dogs. Do you want to talk a little bit about the cost and the time that it takes to take care of and set up a training dog for somebody who needs a training dog or a service dog?
Sure. I think absolutely that's a conversation and a point of education that everybody needs. The first is, let's talk about the problem, like what needs to be addressed here. And when you started talking about statistics, the bottom line is that over 250,000 vets since 9/11 have come back with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury or both. The reality is that traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress are not super well understood by the medical community. We've got like the slimmest grasp of what actually is going on in this complex machine that we call our brains. And the traditional technique for the Veterans Administration, love them or hate them, has been to provide medications by the boatload to our veterans when they come back to try to address these issues. And the very real reality and what you see both anecdotally through friends of mine, through people I've met in the community, and what you read about is that these medications don't do the trick. They may bring somebody back and they may take some of the symptoms away, but they're not going to get that soldier back to where they were before they were put in harm's way. But here's the rub, right? You have all of these folks with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and the reality is that every single person manifests those symptoms in a very different way. So while one person may experience something and develops post-traumatic stress, the person next to him may not. Some person may develop post-traumatic stress and they struggle with anxiety or depression. The other person may develop post-traumatic stress and they have panic attacks. Some post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury can result in suicidal issues or agoraphobia, a fear of even leaving the house. It comes with so many different iterations. It's a very complex, nuanced, and idiosyncratic or individual problem. So medications are just a sort of blanket that's Band-Aid that we put on it, and it doesn't address the issue. Service dogs, on the other hand, are a elegant solution to a complicated problem, because just as idiosyncratic, just as individually as someone may suffer these symptoms and suffer the consequences of post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, you can train a dog to address any of those issues. You can train a dog, if someone who's having panic attacks, to disrupt that panic attack while it's happening. If they're having nightmares, they can disrupt the nightmare. You can train a dog to provide a shield of sorts when that person is out in public, if they're having some sort of space issue. You can train a dog to clear a house before someone goes in if they have concerns about that based on what they've experienced. So the reality is that service dogs are the perfect solution. So that comes to part two of the problem. To properly train a service dog to pair with someone with any sort of disability, especially somebody who might be dealing with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, takes at least 2 years and $25,000 or more to get that dog to where it needs to be to do its job and to effectively partner with an injured vet. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of resources. And the VA won't cover it. The VA does not provide service dogs for anyone with traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress and doesn't cover any of those costs. There are no federal programs to cover that, and it is not covered by insurance. So now we are in a situation. We have told this man or woman to put on a uniform, grab a weapon, put them in harm's way on our behalf so that we don't have to. And now they've come back and we're saying, hey, well, if you want to get better, it's going to cost you $25K. Well, in my mind, that's not okay. That's not tenable. That's not a situation where I want to leave our teammates, our community, in that situation. So that's where Team Foster comes in. All the money we raised goes to providing these service dogs to make sure that these dogs can be obtained, specially trained, and cared for during that training process, all the way up until they can be partnered with their veteran at no cost to the veteran. And then once they're partnered with the veteran, we don't go away. We continue to work with that veteran. And that vet will never have to choose between a critical cost and caring for that dog. So fast forward a year or two after they've been partnered, something comes up and the dog blows out an ACL and needs surgery. We're here. If they can't cover that cost themselves, we're going to take care of it for them. Their water heater blows out and they have a vet bill and the dog's got an ear infection, we're here. We're going to take care of that as well. So that's really what Team Foster is. That is our way of giving back to the community and our way of giving back to our servicemen and women that do so much for us.
You know, it's important. And you mentioned a lot of valid points. Suicide in the military community is a monster problem. In the states that report 22 suicides a day by military, that doesn't include Texas or California, which means realistically the states that don't report and do report combined means that number could be closer to 50 a day. That is 50 a day too many. And we're repeating ourselves like we did with Vietnam history-wise, abandoning our vets after they're fighting a war. And we can't do that. And we need organizations like this. We also need our government to take care of our people, of course, but we need organizations like this to bring awareness to people. So it's great that you're doing this. Do you want to talk a little bit about the value of the service dogs to those who have them and how much of a difference they make? Because you've seen it firsthand.
Sure. First, I'll tell you, Marcus, when you see what happens, it will change you. It'll change the way you look at life. It'll change you in your appreciation for the value of what these dogs do. And to sort of touch on your point, Marcus, I think I'm very fortunate in that I still have the opportunity to serve in the military. And every time I put on a uniform, somebody stops me and shakes my hand and thanks me for my service or buys my coffee or buys my lunch. And that's phenomenal. And I am very appreciative. But I will also tell you that those gestures don't change anything. Those gestures don't reduce the suicide rate of our veterans. Those gestures don't change the community, don't make our folks better. So what I would implore people is that rather than stopping the service member, man or woman, do something about it. Take your time. Take your resources, your creativity, your talents, your money, and put it, whether it's Team Foster, quite frankly, any other veteran service organization out there, and do something about the problem. Because when you do, then you start to see the benefits. Rather than preaching at you, I want to give you a story. There's a gentleman that we work with, one of our veterans. His name's Mike. Mike is he was a veteran of the first Gulf War. He came back and as a result of some of the things he had experienced, he had some post-traumatic stress. He had some traumatic brain injury and he came back and he had a tough time. He had some mental health concerns. He had developed a substance abuse problem. He developed agoraphobia, which we mentioned a moment ago, but basically didn't want to leave the house, had an overwhelming fear of being out in public. In 2016, he got his service dog and he and his service dog, Cookie Dough, transformed his life. Mike went from having so many struggles. Fast forward to 2018, And he is out and about like any one of the rest of us, just with Cookie Dough at his side. And he has done so well. And Cookie Dough has had such an impact on him that in 2018, we were invited to go see a Phillies game. And they asked us if one of our veterans would change third base. And I asked and Mike agreed. And he went out in front of 48,000 people on alumni weekend and changed third base.
This is an agoraphobe you're talking about.
This is a man who could not function, could not leave his house, gets a service dog, and without a hitch, walks out in front of 48,000 people as if it's a walk in the park. And you see that every time I see the video, every time I talk about it, I can't help but to get worked up. To see for yourself the change that this service dog had in this man's life, it's hard to describe. And that is part of the reason Team Foster works so hard. And we put on these monster, amazing events because it is so important and the value of what we're doing is so absolutely critical.
Wow. Now, did he have Cookie Dough out, walk out to the base with him? He did?
Yeah, okay, cool. She joined him. She was side by side, you know, checking out the field, checking everything, you know. And obviously,
and the crowd will go nuts over that.
Oh, they went. It was insane. And of course, the vibe in the stadium was amazing. All the 2008 alums from the World Series championship team were there to watch this happen. Everybody's excited. And then you see someone has done everything he could on our behalf. He's gone into third world countries and done things that none of us want to do, and then overcome the obstacles coming back. And now, he's back on track and getting his life back because of the service dog.
That's a huge success. So that's one little thing that made a monster difference in somebody's life.
100%.
Wow. And you have coming up May 31st, a big event that you want people to sign up for, people who like health, who like fitness, who like cycling, who like spin classes.
Marcus, I'll respectfully suggest that this event is for anybody who likes veterans, fitness, or dogs. And let's talk about it.
So bingo.
May 31st is Rough Ride, R-U-F-F Ride. I hope you saw what we did there. 24-hour spin relay. It's right here in Philadelphia, right in downtown at 20th and Market. And here's how it works. Teams register for a bike. You're assigned a spin bike, and then that team takes turns keeping your assigned bike spinning for 24 consecutive hours. We start at 11 a.m. on May the 31st, and then whether you hop on that bike for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour or more, together, you make sure that bike stays spinning. Is it hard? Yes. Does it require teamwork? Yes. Because that's exactly what Team Foster is about. It's about working together. It's about accomplishing something challenging together. And then all the fundraising money goes to provide the service dogs for the injured and disabled vets that we talked about.
That's awesome.
And just in case that didn't sound fun enough on its face, let's talk about what's going on. We've got 25 teams out there. The team slots are sold out, but we're still looking for individual riders to help fill out these teams. So there's plenty of opportunities to register. You just go to teamfoster.org. And it's not just sitting and spinning on a bike. You're going to have live music. We're going to have spin classes at set times interspersed throughout the event. We're going to have a live Jumbotron scoreboard for the bikes. So it's not just riding. It's a competition. Which team is going to get out there, slug it out, mash those pedals, put on as many points as you can. And it's on the scoreboard is about 25 feet by 25 feet wide, and you get to watch it in real time. We're going to have a live feed. We're going to have food. We're going to have music. We're going to have drinks. We're going to have a VIP area for the teams that raise enough money or the individuals that hit their fundraising minimum. You can have access to the VIP area. So if you want to take a nap, great, and come back out and spin. You want to go grab some food, get a shower, whatever the case may be. It's really half spin event, half festival. Oh, and I forgot the best part. My favorite part, and I suppose this is probably everyone's favorite part, are all the service dogs in training that are going to be around. Service dogs in training is really code for puppies. So tons of puppies, tons of dogs. Some of our vets are going to be out coming and talking to y'all, telling you about their journeys. It's really an epic event.
Lots of puppy kisses.
100%. Puppy kisses?
You need to do a puppy kiss booth. Dollar a puppy kiss. Yes. Do you want to give out the website again so people can go to Team Foster and sign up and take one of those open individual slots?
Sure.
All 25 team slots are filled.
Absolutely. You always can go to teamfoster.org. All of our events are up there, including Rough Ride. You just get on, click, say, hey, I want to ride. Click on, hey, I'm looking for a team. Or if you already have a team, what team you want to ride for? And then you'll get set up.
And besides the fact that you have riders and people participating in these events, does Team Foster have volunteers? Do you need volunteers as well?
Yeah, and that's actually a great question, Marcus, and it's an opportunity to talk about an interesting point about Team Foster. Team Foster is an all-volunteer run organization, meaning we have no paid employees. So in order to put on these events, in order to raise all this money, we must have folks that are willing to take their time, their efforts to come out. So if you are willing to come out and staff a table, if you're willing to come out and sell some merchandise, if you're willing to come out and just check on our riders, hang out, whatever the case may be, we are always looking for volunteers. So, and the same registration for volunteers is the same way. Go to teamfoster.org, click on Rough Ride, and just register as part of our volunteer army. And then we'll get with you and we'll talk about our schedule. We'll talk about where we need. We've got to set up. We've got to take down. There's plenty of opportunities there as well.
Originally, when I first started talking to you, you were all about training service dogs. How long ago did you expand into taking care of the retired working dogs and offering these quarterly grants?
So up until last year, we were focused exclusively on service dogs. That's the only thing we did. And then last year, we had a couple of occasions where a retired working dog, and actually a dog named Sergeant Goodwin, was brought to our attention. He was in dire need of some medical treatment. He was very in the late stages of his life, and his owner wasn't able to take care of that. And we believe that much like our human servicemen and women, our canine service members are also valuable. And
without a doubt,
the things that they do, the dogs can do when they're downrange, whether that's IED, improvised explosive device detection, or whatever the case, you know, or your typical canine police style working dogs, they are out there working just as hard as the rest of us. So it's important that they get taken care of. So with that in mind, much like our human service members, we pledge to make sure that they are always taken care of. No hero left behind is our tagline, is our motto, is our mission. So that's what we continue to do. Those heroes, the four-legged ones, are also valuable, just like our two-legged ones. Mm-hmm. And then we've been very fortunate, and a number of people have reached out with some really engaging, important veteran-related missions. So from time to time, folks come to us and you can apply for a grant, and we do quarterly offer grants, smaller, and you're not talking $50,000, but smaller grants to either help a particular veteran or to help a particular veteran service organization that's doing valuable work.
And you also mentioned earlier your puppy raising program. You're working with the Susquehanna Service Dogs. Do you want to talk a little bit about this as well? Because this is something that's also big with Team Foster.
Yeah, listen, so in our education process at Team Foster, one of the things we have learned is that to get a veteran to a service dog, often it takes, there's about a 2-year waiting list. And the problem is that there are just not enough dogs. So we have been working with Susquehanna Service Dogs as our training partner for several years. And at some point I went to them and I said, what's the problem? Why do our veterans have to wait so long to get to the dogs? I talked to them. They said, Nick, it's about puppy raising. It's super logistically and resource intensive to get enough folks to raise puppies. And we need more puppies in the pipeline so that we can partner more dogs with veterans. So we went back and our team looked at that and we said, well, how are we going to fix this? We're raising this money. We have these resources. How can we fix this problem? How can we facilitate the solution so that our veterans don't have to wait 2 years to get to a dog? Well, the solution is to have more puppy raising. And what better place to have more puppy raising than right here in the Philadelphia area?
Absolutely.
So we are working with Susquehanna Service Dogs. It's a partnership, and beginning late summer of 2019, so just a couple more months, we are going to be standing up a puppy raising program right here in Philadelphia.
Whoa.
So that's going to mean a lot of great things. One, that's going to mean more puppies all the time. It's going to be great opportunities for folks who want to get their hands dirty and really lean in on this issue to help us out raising puppies, helping those do these formative years with the dogs so that they can go on to do these big badass things with our veterans. And the other thing is, it's going to put more dogs in the pipeline. That means more dogs that are being looked at, that can be evaluated, can be on their path to being a service dog. And when there's more service dogs available, that means more veterans can get to them. And that means more veterans are being helped, and they're being helped sooner.
That's important. That's very important. You take puppies, you train them to become service dogs. Is it a difficult process for the dog trainers to weed out the puppies that aren't, they're great puppies, but they just aren't service puppies?
Sure. I tell you what, it's a tough process, and they're hard decisions. And I'm very fortunate that I'm not the trainer, so I don't have to make them. But the dogs are bred, and then they start going through a training process. And that training process is about once or twice a week. And then it increases in frequency as the dog gets older and the tasks get more complex. And then the dogs are periodically evaluated. And every stage of that evaluation, the dog is, hey, does this dog make sense for someone with post-traumatic stress? Is this dog going to make sense for somebody who, you know, perhaps needs a mobility dog, somebody to help keep their balance? Is this dog okay for somebody with a psychological issue? Or is this dog okay with somebody with MS? Whatever the case may be. But many of those dogs, I would say approximately 50%, give or take, it's a rough estimate, simply aren't cut out to be service dogs. It's very challenging to have the demeanor, the training, and the temperament so that that dog is situated to do those types of functions. So it's an ongoing process. It's a complicated process, and it's hard, you know, especially it's a difficult decision to say, listen, I know we put all these resources into this dog, but it's not, you know, a service dog is not in its future. But it's an important decision that has to be made so that we make sure that the best possible partners are being produced to take care of our veterans and the other needs that are out there.
Again, just because a dog isn't cut out to be a service dog doesn't mean it's not going to be a great family member.
No,
It
may make a great pet.
Yep.
It may make a good emotional support animal, which is different than being a service dog.
Absolutely.
It may go on to be a working dog. Maybe it's too high energy. It's too driven and needs to go work for the CIA or a police department. Maybe that dog is a great facility dog. Maybe it needs to work in a courthouse or a hospital. I often talk about this service dog training process is sort of the farm system. If you're a baseball fan, you know that you have the single A, double A, triple A farm system, and all these athletes go into there. Listen, some of those folks are not going to make it out. They're never going to go to the major leagues. Mm-hmm. And the ones that go to the major leagues, some of them are going to be outfielders. Some of them are going to be pitchers. Some of them are going to be all-stars, and some of them are going to be bench players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the puppy raising program is about. It's about building that farm system. It's about getting more dogs into the pipeline so that we can generate more all-stars, more service dogs, more folks can help out these vets.
And do you want to give out that website and social media information again?
100%. Check out teamfoster.org. You can learn about Rough Ride on May 31st. You can learn about or register for the Foster 100, which is on September 14th of 2019, or any of the other events or programs that we have going on. We have stuff going on seemingly every other day, and opportunities for you to come out, support Team Foster, learn more about our veterans, learn more about the impact these service dogs have on them.
Excellent. And before we wrap it up, again with me is Nick Learman, who is the founder and CEO of Team Foster. He is here not only to talk about what they do at Team Foster, but he's here to talk about the Rough Ride, which is Friday, May 31st. Is there anything else you want to mention before we wrap it up?
Sure. I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out. We talk about the volunteers that are needed, and we're an all-volunteer organization. We also have some phenomenal business and local corporate partners. First, huge shout out to our title sponsors for Rough Ride, Pond Lahaki, Stern Giordano. They're a law firm right here in downtown Philadelphia that with a heart, a law firm that really cares about giving back to our community. And with that, they are a huge lift in helping us out with Rough Ride this year. Also, just as important, our friends at BPM Fitness. BPM Fitness is a half spin, half TRX fitness studio at 18th and Spring Garden, owned by the one and only Shoshana Katz. Shoshana and their team are providing all the bikes that we need for this year's Rough Ride. And at almost no cost, huge community partners. And it's her and her team that are going to be coming out and teaching the spin classes and really getting you pumped up.
Nick, thank you very much for coming by to talk about the Rough Ride, talking about what you do with Team Foster, and thank you very much for all that you do for our veterans.
Thank you, Marcus, for having us out. Any opportunity to talk about Team Foster, our veterans, or our community is always welcome. Can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Talk soon. You just listened to another episode of Our Delaware Valley. I'm your host, Marcus Goldman. If you would like more information about today's show, Team Foster, the Rough Ride, the Foster 100, all you got to do is email me, marcus.goldman@bbgi.com. Again, we thank you for listening to today's show, and we invite you to listen to a new show next week. Enjoy your day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.